And as promised, I didn't come back on the air by myself, joined by the one and only Adam Hillegart of Neil and Adam. What's going on, brother?
Hey, good to talk to you.
Yeah,
it's good to talk to you.
It's been a while. If you, I don't know if you remember, but the last time we tried to do this, we had like wicked technical issues and could hardly hear each other. And
yeah, my wife and I were talking about that because we kind of remembered that, and we're like, okay, it may have been our laptop. We were trying to figure out. So I'm on another device now just to make sure that didn't happen. But no, yeah, I do remember that.
It was all me. Trust me, it was all me.
Oh, was it? Okay.
So I don't even know where to start. I mean, there's so much stuff because we really didn't get a chance to talk the last time. So for me, this is like the first time you and I get to sit down and talk on air. But I guess we'll start with the, why don't you give us a little bit of history of your work with Neil and how you guys got together and all of that.
Sure. Neil and I go way back to high school. We lived down the street from each other. And we met in a foreign language class. And I remember we kind of overheard each other talking about music and guitars and different guitar effects, and kind of looked back and kind of realized, you know, we both play music, write music, and then we would walk home from school, go to my parents' house, and we would just sit in my parents' basement and just write, and just got better and better and enjoyed every moment of it.
And then from there, I mean, you guys just kept going. Now, it's been, when did you guys record Oil Fire and Everything's All Right? How long's it been?
Yeah, so we obviously we work a little slower, but yeah, let's see. I guess Everything Is All Right, and that was kind of a funny song because we had submitted some demos to this publisher. He was in New York, and then he had asked us to come up with something positive and poppy, and that's how he came up with Everything Is All Right. Now, initially, it was a demo, and he liked it, and that's when we got the song. We kind of went to Mike Rogers again, who would later on master Oil Fire and then Bright Light. I guess we'll get into that. But that was all 2014, 2015. Walk Away was around 2015, 2016. And then Oil Fire around 2017.
Yeah. So I wasn't gonna say anything, but you guys, I mean, we talked about, and I don't know if it was Bright Light that we talked about when we got together or not. I think it was.
Uh-huh.
And that was a year and a half ago, dude.
No, I mean, your intro was awesome, like, when you debuted it, because I was, like, sitting there, I was laughing, I was like, oh, my God, I gotta get that. Like, that was, I was glad I kind of talked to you. You know, that song, I kind of feel like it's, we feel like it's destined for something, because I got to tell you, that was a tough song to even get off the ground from the demo stages. You know, I mean, it was a demo for a long time. And, and then we had talked to Mike Rogers again. He liked it, but he wanted to track it over again. So, you know, we flew into New York. He had this really cool 250-year-old house, like in Kent, Connecticut, which is basically a stone's throw away from Manhattan, and went and recorded it there. And then from there, you know, that took a while. And, you know, Mike went through so many revisions of that song. Like, he, you know, we would get these different revisions. What do you think of this? What do you think of this? I don't know if I like this. I'm going to try something different. And that went on for a while. And, we were frustrated at times. But, man, the end project, like, the end result was just perfect. It was worth the wait.
Well, didn't you and I, we've chatted on Facebook. Didn't you say Neil ended up singing like 14 hours in the studio?
Oh, my God. That he worked us. I mean, we would start. We were lucky enough to stay with him in his house. And we had different bedrooms, and Mike would text us in the morning. You know, it would normally start around 8, and we would get up and meet him down, and then we would go into Kent, Connecticut, which was this really cool little, it was like a little village, little small town. And we'd get breakfast, go back, and we would get in the studio and just start working. And, you know, on Neil's vocal day, like, it just, yeah. I mean, I don't know how many takes Neil did. I mean, because I was upstairs laying in bed just kind of waiting for my turn and, you know, to do the guitar. And I just, I felt so bad for, I heard Neil singing the same thing over and over. Mike's a perfectionist. And I was like, oh, man, I was kind of scared about my turn. Finally, Neil nailed it. I mean, he really did. That was, and then I think I went the next day for guitar. And, oh, man, my session was probably like 6-8 hours of just, you know, constant, you know, again, and man, until he got the take that he wanted. And yeah,
well,
it was a lot of work.
Tell the story behind Bright Light.
Behind Bright Light, like, I guess, you know, I remember taking, I guess you'd say this riff. I remember taking it to Neil's on acoustic guitar. Now, this is a long time ago, and I took it, and he came up with something really cool. And then it kind of went into this kind of dark concept. And but a lot of the times how we write, it's a little different. It's normally pretty poppy, but it's kind of a little dark, you know, lyric-wise, content-wise. And, you know, we just kept on putting together melodies and just wanted to come up with this song that was kind of a intense love song, in a way comparing a relationship to maybe like an addiction, maybe something not that healthy. And I just remember Neil came up with the line, like, you know, fist fight raging in your heart. And we were just like, wow. So, yeah, a lot of great lyrics. And but yeah, I guess the story of it, it started in St. Louis and basically a demo project. And that went on for a while. That went on for a long time. We kind of sat on it. And then, you know, I don't know. It's one of those things we never forgot about, but, you know, it kind of would come and go. And then that's when we got in touch with Mike, because we kind of felt like we had a winner. But he, you know, we needed to track it with him to get it there.
Well, and based on the response that I've seen, you guys were right. You definitely got a winner there. And
thank you.
Yeah, you know, we talked about it a little bit off air when we first started, but Mike did such a great job on the production on that. I every time I listen to it, I hear another layer, and it's like, man, how did I miss that the first dozen times that I listened to the song? And he captures Neil's voice just absolutely perfectly. When you told me how long he was in the studio doing the vocal sessions, I was trying to figure out how the hell he kept his voice together for that long. I mean, and because it's solid, absolutely solid.
Oh yeah. I remember after like some of his takes, I mean, Neil would just be pounding water. Like, he was just, I mean, he was dehydrated. He was there. I mean, he really worked his butt off on that. You know, and it, man, like, he captured Neil's voice. Like, Neil has a beautiful voice, and, you know, Mike really captured it.
Well, let's see. Where do we go from here? I mean, we've talked about that. And now, one of the things you did mention to me is we've been chatting is it's kind of, I don't know if it's the reaction to the song or finally being able to get that one completed, but you kind of gave me the impression that you guys are already starting to write some new stuff.
Oh yeah. We, you know, we don't want to let time get away from us. We want to make sure that we get going right away. And, you know, I've been kind of talking back and forth with them, and, you know, we want to try to get together as soon as we can. You know, with us like moving not too long ago, kind of put a hold on everything, but seeing the positive reaction that we're getting so far, it makes us eager to get in there and write and record again. So I think it's going to be soon. And you know, Neil and I have played together forever, and it's, you know, whenever we do get together and write, it's always kind of like we've hung on to these, like, you know, ideas that we've had for years. It's like, oh, do you remember this one? And we may call it like a silly name, but we have an arsenal of riffs that are 25%, 50%, 75%. So we kind of go back to those and just expand on those.
Well, I've heard a couple of those demos that you've posted.
Yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of stuff that I've seen on the internet, we're probably going to bounce around here a little bit because that's just kind of the way I am. But you've got another project that you've been working on with your dad, Postmodern mm-hmm. Gypsies. And you know, I've made it very clear to you, and I think I've even made it clear to your dad, I love your dad's guitar. I just absolutely, it just captivates me every time you were posting one of those little short video clips. But you guys actually got together and recorded some stuff, right?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, like my dad's history, you know, for a long time is basically pretty much all through my childhood. My dad didn't really do too much like musically. However, you know, prior to me being born, like he was a songwriter at Motown and stuff like that. And he moved back from Los Angeles to here. And then his story is he kind of just gave up on music. I mean, music's a tough industry. And he gave up on it. And then, man, out of the blue, like he went and started buying guitars and he started coming up with these, you know, kind of jazz fusion riffs. And he would call me to come over and I'd come over and I would jam with him. And we kind of just started like that, but it's been so much fun. I mean, he pretty much texts me every day and he's kind of a perfectionist, you know. He'll FaceTime me and, you know, play me the same riff that he played me the day before, but there's a, you know, a little bit of a difference. And, you know, I'm like, oh, okay, that sounds great. And then, you know, we started taking these ideas and taking them to the studio and finding just, you know, great players around here in St. Louis. And, yeah, and just started making like some really cool jazzy pop, if that's a genre. That's what I would call it. It's not straight ahead jazz. It's not fusion, but it's a little jazzy pop. But yeah, we've been having a blast.
It reminds me of stuff that your dad was probably listening to back in the day. You know, some Lee Ritenour and Larry Carlton and stuff like that. The stuff they were doing in like the late 70s and early 80s before they got really, really experimental with their stuff.
Right.
And again, for those of you listening, it's Postmodern Gypsies, and you can, you know, get out there and find it. If you're looking for something on a nice sunny Sunday morning to listen to, it's like the perfect thing, you know, while you're having your coffee. So check that out. So this is what I'm going to do. We talked about Bright Light. If I don't play Bright Light tonight, I'm probably going to end up sleeping on the couch number one, and Rose will never speak to me again. So why don't you and I take a little bit of a break? And for those of you guys, those of you listening, I've got Adam Hillegard, Neil and Adam. They've got this new single. It's called Bright Light. That's just like tearing it up. We've talked about it. Now you get to hear it. We'll be back in a minute. And there you have it, Bright Light by Neil and Adam. And if you're hearing it for the first time, you probably understand why we all get so excited about it. You know, the ladies here on the staff go gaga over it. The first time I heard it, I was like, dang. Oh. All right, but now I want to talk about one of my favorite subjects in the entire world. And we tried to talk through this the last time when we had all the technical issues. And we just came out of the holiday season. I got to talk about Biddle, man. I got to talk about Biddle. So I know the story. And I do an okay job when I remember to tell the story. But tell everybody how Biddle Claws came into existence.
Well, we think you do a great job. We look forward to that show every year and appreciate you so much for doing it. Yeah, my nephews were little and I used to mess with them. It was kind of like the anti-Santa Claus, like, you know, Santa comes down the chimney and brings everybody good presents. Biddle Claws comes up the toilet and brings people crappy gifts. And, you know, for years when my nephews were little, I would wrap old toys, you know, whatever I could find that no kid would want on Christmas morning. I'd wrap it in toilet paper and I'd put it under the tree. And I remember my sister was kind of like, after a while, she was saying that, you know, she didn't want her kids to be the weird kids at preschool talking about Biddle Claws because they're always mad about Biddle Claws. And so, like, it became like this kind of funny joke. And, you know, because I mean, I could get where she was coming from a little bit. Like, she's got kids up there telling other kids about a man that comes out of a toilet on Christmas morning. But so, yeah, and that's pretty much how it originated. And then I remember I kind of threw something out there on Facebook, just kind of like basically retelling the morning that we had had. And all these people were like, that needs to be a children's book. And I was like, I remember sitting there, I was talking to Bridget, and I was like, maybe this is worth looking into. So that's pretty much how it came about. It was like a joke on Christmas morning, just messing with my, in particular, my older nephew, Logan. But yeah, that's how that all came about.
And that's one of my favorite shows to do all year long. And the reason is because it is such a cute, cool little story. And I mean, it is kind of the perfect antithesis of Santa Claus, but at the same time, the story kind of brings, you know, everything that Santa Claus stands for back into proper perspective. So,
right.
We have a lot of fun with it, and I know our listeners do. I mean, we got folks that like you guys do, and it's a tradition. You know, at this point, it's an official tradition. Every Christmas Eve, I'm going to get on the air, and I'm going to read Biddle Claws. But it's a fun little thing for those of you out there that have no idea what we're talking about. I'd say head over to Amazon and get a copy of it. It's a great thing for young kids. If you want to have some fun with your young kids, that might be a tradition to start in your house as well. All right, we've hit most of everything I wanted to talk about, but before I even think about ending this whole thing, well, no, we already talked. You guys are writing stuff and all of that. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. We hit all my high points. And you know, this is a tough time to be talking to musicians just because of the, you know, we've been talking about COVID off the air. But you know, due to COVID, you know, it's not like we can talk about potential live dates or anything like that because everything is kind of understandably shut down. I don't like it, but it's understandable why things are shut down. I guess the one thing I'm kind of curious about with you guys going to New York to do all the production work for Bright Light. I mean, what was it like for you guys in terms of having to deal with COVID-related things during the trip and stuff like that?
You know, I think, like, one of the bigger issues is, so, yeah, you know, with Bright Light, Neil and I had, I mean, and this goes way back to when we wrote it. And what I was saying earlier is Neil and I, we do traditionally move pretty slow. And a lot of that, too, is very perfectionist in as far as writing and studio and all that and recording, tracking. But one of the things that we always wanted, we knew that chorus was powerful. That was like one thing that, you know, we really try to, we try to always establish a big hook. And we kind of wanted, initially we wanted maybe like a gospel choir underneath of it. And we had reached out to a couple different places, and I can tell you, we got some really funny demands back from different choirs, wanting transportation and wanting lunch and dinner and, you know, all that. So a lot of the stuff that we were like, but, you know, and then so Mike's part up there is that, like, he didn't really, you know, you couldn't really have anybody in the studio. So it was finding that perfect backing vocalist. So, like, we, you know, Neil, Mike, and myself, we would look at all these different options. Mike would throw out, and you know, we found Sarah Sangfelt, and she just nailed it. Her backing vocals in Bright Light are extremely powerful. But you know, that was something that came like COVID related. It was like, what do you do? You can't have anybody in the studio. you can't bring strangers in the studio. So you have to start working with people. Like, she's in Los Angeles. We had to get her to track out there and then send it back to Mike, who's basically in, you know, New York, Connecticut. You know, we couldn't have done it without technology. Without technology, it would have been very difficult.
This whole year would have been unbearable musically if it weren't for the technology. And we're seeing so many, or at least here, we're starting to see so many acts that are taking that kind of remote approach to recording. We've even got a few. We've got one band. What is it? Scoov. The guys have never met each other.
Oh, really? Wow.
Never met each other, and they're on two continents. They're here, and they're in Europe. And they I think they met through SoundCloud or something like that, if I remember the story right. But they put out some incredible stuff, having never laid eyes on each other. And with, you know, the way 2020 went, I was kind of nervous when the pandemic first started, you know, what was going to be the effect here at the station as far as being able to provide new music. And I ended up, I ended up doing 30 shows in 2020 that were nothing but debut stuff from our existing artist base. And so I think a lot of folks just kind of dove into the studio and they, you know, can't go out and play live. And, you know, if you're a musician, you just can't put it away. I mean, your dad tried. I tried. You know, you can put it away for a little while, but it's not going to go away permanently. So I was kind of curious what that studio experience would be like. And it kind of makes sense that, it just one guy in the studio, one guy in the booth, and go from there.
And a lot of studios themselves are struggling right now with the COVID. So, you know, like that, let's see how that plays out. But, you know, I guess what people do now is, I mean, some of these home studios are, wow. I mean, they're pretty impressive. And, you know, I think a lot of music will come from those. I know a lot of the studios are having a tough time, and because a lot of people now have home studios and that can put out, you know, just as good of records production wise as if they, you know, cut them in a studio. For Neil and I, like, we kind of, and my dad and I, we like going into the studio. There's a certain magic about going there, but there's also a certain magic of being at home doing it too. So I think there's gonna be a lot of cool music coming out.
I have no doubt. I mean, I'm doing a new music show tomorrow. I got 2, 4, 6, 8, I think I got 11 songs queued up for tomorrow night, again, from existing artists that we've got in rotation. And what we're going to do is we're going to hope that you guys, you know, that it's not like a year and a half before we
right, yeah,
see you guys again.
Right. That's something we got to get on right away. That's one of our pitfalls. Right. But
What it does is it, and again, you know, and a lot of folks that are listening probably don't know, but we had the opportunity to get together in Colorado about a year and a half ago. And you played me a real rough cut demo. And I mean, that was the way you introduced it. So I knew the idea was out there, and, you know, I just kind of patiently, rephrase that, very impatiently kept waiting. And then you guys started making noise towards the end of the year, and it's like, okay. And then when I heard it, it was like, okay, this was worth the wait. This was very definitely worth the wait.
You know, one of the other problems with that song also was timing. That song we could have released a lot earlier. However, you know, there was so much going on in the world, and I just, you know, we were sitting there like, man, is this the right time to release something new? Like, cause you're kind of nervous sometimes if you like throw some new music out there and there's so much happening in the world, is it just going to be, you know, like camouflage? Is it, you know, invisible? I don't know. That was something that we kind of worried about, but I think we released it at the right time.
Yeah, I would agree. I think, you know, One of the things that I've seen is your average listener or your average music fan start to kind of go back to it because, you know, you can only watch Netflix for so long before you lose your mind.
Right. right.
And so I think in a way, this is all kind of made folks appreciate music a little bit more. And I think that once we get through, you know, the worst of this, then we can start getting things open back up. I think folks are dying for live music again and that opportunity to be able to get together with a crowd of people and hear their favorite people doing their music and all we got to do is just kind of get through. We got to get through it. And I'm just hoping that by the end of the summer and maybe early fall, we can do that. And I know you guys at one point, you guys did some live shows for a while there, didn't you?
We did a little bit. It's, you know, it's always tougher for us. You know, since we are a duo, we're kind of used to doing everything ourselves. And, but yeah, I mean, that's something I think what Neil and I have always really loved, is writing and recording. Now we love playing out too. But writing and recording, that's something that, we've both just fell in love with that as teenagers. It's such a cool process and, you know, but yeah, when you can play out, like that's, you know, that's something that we need to do more of. Oh, sorry, my cat tried to climb up me. She, yeah, that's something we'd like to do also. So do more of that.
Cool. All right. Well, why don't you tell everybody all the places they can find out about Neil and Adam?
Okay. Yeah, I guess Twitter. We like Twitter. That's Neil Adam Music. Instagram, Neil and Adam. And then Facebook, Neil and Adam Music. And we are on Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, all of that, all those platforms.
You see, folks, they're on platforms where you can go out and buy the music. Okay. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't get a copy of Bright Light, we need to have a talk. man, this has been good. This has been fun.
This has been fun.
I have not heard your voice in a long time. I'm glad everything's good out there.
You too.
We'll do this. I'll tell you what, I'll automatically put the bookmark in place. We'll do this maybe before the next single comes out. Whenever that is. And I'm going to be patient this time.
No, I also wanted to shout out your top 30. Man, there's so much talent in that. I've really enjoyed listening to it. And it's so many great artists. So many. Just very impressive. So everybody that's a part of that.
Well, you know,
definitely my hat's off.
Well, when I decided to get back into all of this, I was hoping that I could find like maybe 50 independent acts that I could get behind enough to help them out. And you know, the top 30 is just a result of the incredible music that's out there. We're not even having to go out and beg folks for music anymore. I mean, we're getting tons of submissions, but that top 30 really is just the result of incredible music being made that a lot of folks aren't aware of. And so it, you know, that's why we're here, is hopefully, you know, if we can get a few people going the way of each one of those artists, including you guys, I feel like we've done our part.
Oh yeah, we're honored and humbled to be a part of it. It's been awesome to listen to.
Well, and I'll put the plug in. Monday night, 8 Eastern, we'll do it all over again. All right, my friend, this has been great. You hang out. We'll say goodbye offline, and this gives me a chance. Well, I'm going to let you guys listen to some more Neil and Adam. Once again, Adam Hillegart from Neil and Adam. Thank you, my friend. This has been a blast, and I'll be back. I'll be back in a few minutes.